After soccer practice in June of 2018, 12 members of a Thai soccer team and their coach decided to explore the nearby Tham Luang cave, one of Thailand's longest. The boys, ages 11 through 16, and their coach, 25, waded into the waters and began exploring the cave. When a flash flood came, they pushed deeper inside, eventually making their way to an elevated platform 4 kilometers into the cave system. The flood filled up the twisted cave system with water, trapping the boys for 17 days. And for the first 9 days, they had no food and relied on dripping stalactites for water. But they didn't sit and wait. Realizing that they were trapped, the boys took turns digging a 16-foot hole into the cave wall, hoping to find a way out. Heroes don't just belong in comic books or blockbuster movies. We have them in real life too. People whose courage and strength and resilience we can look up to as models for our own lives. In this summer series, Heroes of the Faith, we meet 4 outstanding heroes from our faith story. Their readiness to listen to God's voice in their lives and to act on it can inspire us to do the same. Last week, we met Deborah, priestess, prophetess, wife, and judge. This week, we meet Rahab, the prostitute, who was bold in faith despite her circumstances. And their readiness to listen to God's voice in their lives and to act on it can be inspirational for us. For sometimes we are to be bold to fulfill God's purpose despite our challenges and circumstances. Now, the whole world followed the story of efforts to rescue those young boys and their coach, an old man at 25. We all hoped and prayed for their return to the surface. And it was through the bold efforts of the Thai Navy SEALs that they returned through a hole in the wall. You see, boldness or courage, it's not an individual attribute, you know, something that's baked in. There are many stories in the Bible and in history, and yes, even in the present, when seemingly average people perform acts of great courage and boldness. Boldness is present in the moment and the circumstances when it's needed. It's something given and enabled by God. And to be bold by God's power is to be humble in our own power. We're filled with the Spirit, acting to God's purpose, not on our own, but with God's inspiration. So, what are the circumstances that were surrounding this story of Rahab? Moses had died, and Joshua is now leading the Israelites into the promised land. And in preparation for the battle, Joshua sent 2 spies from his army to investigate the city of Jericho before the attack. And these 2 spies, they stayed at the house of Rahab. And somehow the king of Jericho found out. He was told that the 2 spies were staying at the house of Rahab, and so he sent word that the 2 men should be brought out to him. Rahab lied. She told the messengers that the men were gone. And she didn't know where they were. Actually, she had hidden them under stalks of flax, which she had spread out on the roof to dry. And so the king's men departed, leaving the city to search for the spies. And the city gates were closed. And Rahab then went back up on the roof and told the spies that the people of Jericho had heard of the conquests of God's chosen people. Those conquests that they had made prior to coming to Jericho. The people were frightened and they had no will to fight against them. She knew that their God was God of heaven above and earth beneath. And so she asked for protection for her family when the city was attacked. The men agreed as long as she remained silent about their mission. Then she lowered them by a rope through a window, for her house was built into the wall of the city. And she was actually living inside the wall. There was a hole in the wall through which the men escaped. And it was through that hole that she hung a red cord to mark the place where she and her family were going to be staying when the city was attacked. Rahab played an important role in God's mission of allowing the Israelites to enter the promised land, the land of Canaan. So what is it that we learn from this story of Rahab? I think there's three important points for us to think about. First of all, God includes who God will in God's story with humanity. Now, some interpretations suggest that Rahab's home was an inn or a tavern, and that she was likely an innkeeper. Now, this could be because within the context of the ancient patriarchal system, understandings of gender roles, women fell outside the roles of, if they fell outside the roles of faithful wife or mother, they were marginalized and depicted negatively. Now, whether she was an innkeeper, a prostitute, or both, as a financially independent woman, Rahab went against the expectations of women in her time. She would have been viewed as a threat to the order of society because she threatened the very idea that men had complete control over women's bodies. And importantly to the story, Rahab was an outsider to Israel. There's no reason to expect that she would have played such a critical role in God's plan. Another thing to think about, it's not typical when you read the genealogies, you know, so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. When we read those genealogies, women aren't mentioned. But Rahab is. In Matthew 1, verse 5, she's listed in the genealogy of Jesus. So what's that tell you about how God works and with whom God might work? God breaks through our expectations and upholds those who are marginalized. Who would expect that someone like Rahab would be related to Jesus? The second thing to think about. God invites us to be bold. Rahab is bold and she lies about hiding the spies. Her boldness shows in the fact that she hid the spies and that she makes a request of the spies to save her household. And stop and think about it. She was in a tough spot. She cooperates with the military enemies of her city who were spying on her people. And she also negotiates with them to save her family and her life. So often we think about right and wrong as a clear-cut choice. Things are black or things are white. We forget about that big space in the middle between black and white. You know, that space we call gray. Context and discernment are key in decision making. So what are the bold things that we're called to do? You know, a building is filled with holes. Even a church has windows and doors. The windows, they let in light, and when opened, thank goodness they're open today, they let in fresh air. They let in light. The doors, when opened, serve as holes to let people in and to let us go out into the community around us. And it seems to me that after a time of being confined by COVID and concerns about our health and safety, that maybe it's time to go outside the walls. So how do we do that? That's what we're thinking about right now. Many of the connections that we had with the community, not the village of Shenick and the areas around that we had made during the community meal or community day, we've kind of lost. And so how do we reconnect? How do we go out through the hole of that door back into the community? I'm getting off script right now. I'm intrigued by this idea of a hole in the wall. I read a book many years ago entitled There's a Hole in the Gospel. And it was written by one of the founders of Compassion International. And the point that he was trying to make was that yes, the gospel is out there. The gospel calls us to care for others. But there's a hole in the gospel that can only be filled by you. We all live our lives. We all have our circumstances that we worry about, that we bring to the Lord in prayer, praying for the answer that we're looking for. So the wall of fear and doubt, whatever that wall may be made of, there's a hole in that wall, a hole that lets the gospel in to be with you as you struggle. This week, Tuesday evening at 7:00, our sustainability team is going to meet again and We're going to talk about how can we reconnect with the community, and maybe some of the things that we might do. But the most important thing is that we first reconnect with the community. Not that we take a bunch of dirt in our hands or pour some water on it and make it into mud and throw it up against the wall and see what sticks and that's what we'll do. But that we really try to determine what's God calling us to do in this community? What needs to happen in this community that we can help with? That we can be vehicles to communicate God's word by what we do, by what we say. And so I'd ask all of you to think about that. For there is a hole in the wall. A hole to let us out, and a hole to let Christ in. Thanks be to God. Amen.